This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
The call came in about 5 p.m., the afternoon of Howard Pinsky's 75th birthday. He had retreated to his study. His wife and his oldest daughter were busy in the kitchen cleaning up after the birthday celebration. His youngest daughter was in the family room with his grandsons, all of them absorbed with their respective phones. His middle daughter was lying hugely pregnant on the living room sofa, attended by her husband, who was massaging her feet. Howard loved them all beyond words. But there were times when he just needed to get away. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books and Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I'm talking to Deborah Kalb about her charming debut adult novel, Off to Join the Circus, a warm, loving look at a family grappling with the sudden return after 64 years of their father's older sister. Told from the different perspectives of the characters, this is a sweet story about recognizable people with normal anxieties about health, jobs, and relationships, who are confronted by this enigmatic, high-heel-wearing 80-year-old aunt as they all await the upcoming bar mitzvah celebration of their youngest grandchild and the birth of another. Adele Pinsky reminds them what it means to belong to a family. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Galit. Thanks so much for having me.
How did you happen to go from writing children's fiction to this adult novel?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about doing both for years, and I actually did do some writing for adults before I actually started writing for kids. So it was kind of back and forth, and this happened to be the first adult novel that got published.
Got it. It's a lovely novel. How did you think of the story of an 80-year-old woman who returns home after a 64-year absence?
Yeah, so Adele Pinsky sort of popped into my head. I don't know anyone like her. She just appeared in my head one day, and I wanted to explore her story and the impact she has on her family.
You know, I had trouble believing that Aunt Adele wore high heels at 80 because she says they were more comfortable, and I've got some time before I turn 80, but can you say more about that?
Absolutely. So I never wear high heels, and Adele is nothing like me. And so I kind of wanted to have some character who, you know, was very flamboyant and very proud of the way she looks. And that was Adele.
So Howard's life, her brother, was completely changed at 11 when she disappeared. Can you introduce him and briefly explain how that disappearance changed his life?
Absolutely. So Adele ran away from their home in New Jersey when she was 16 and he was 11. And their dad, when Howard asked, where did she go, said, oh, Howie, she ran off to join the circus. And he took it literally. So he, for years, believed she actually had done that. And he looked for her for forever and could never find her. And all of a sudden, she calls him on his 75th birthday.
You know, I think so many families have a child, somebody who, a divorced themselves from the family or disappeared.
Yes.
It just was so heartwarming that she came home, but she's kind of aggravating.
Yes, she certainly is.
She won't answer any questions. I don't know if I'd let her stay at my house if she wouldn't answer.
She's a woman of mystery. So she tries to connect with other family members. So if there's one of the grandsons is good at baseball, so she says, well, I used to be a player manager on a women's softball team, and another cousin's wife is a model. So she says, well, I've been asked to model for, you know, older women's fashion catalogs. Well, is any of it true? I don't know. And then the other family members are trying to figure out, like, how much is this is a tall tale and how much of it actually happened.
Yeah. So each of Howard and Marilyn's daughters is dealing with a challenge. Lucy going through a divorce, Sarah preparing for her son's bar mitzvah celebration, etc., and Diana, who's pregnant with her first. So facing challenges seems to be one of the themes of the novel. Can you expound on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, each family member is facing a challenge, and they're all an incredibly entwined family, very sort of overly enmeshed, and they're in each other's business all the time, except for Lucy, the youngest daughter, who tries to maintain a certain amount of privacy. But it's the kind of family where they know what's going on with one another. And then Adele shows up and sort of turns the whole thing upside down and makes them question what they're dealing with. So all these challenges that they're having are sort of shown in a new light by her reappearance.
Mm-hmm. The three sisters, as is often the case among siblings, have a position to uphold.
Oh, yes, they do.
And you even write about it, quote, Sarah's the reliable one, Diana is the circus one, and Lucy was the baby. So
yes.
How close is that to the positions in your own birth family or in your own children? And can you talk about birth order?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm the oldest or older in my family. And I think there is always this sort of sense with the older or oldest kid. Oh, yeah, they're the responsible one. They're responsible for their younger siblings. And Sarah definitely plays that role. I mean, she's a very, very responsible person. And in the Pinsky family, they sort of divide themselves into someone who is circus, which means someone like Adele, who conceivably could have run off and joined a circus, and someone who is not circus, which means you would never dream of doing that. And Diana is circus. So she's the only one who really is. And they're always telling her, you're just like your Aunt Adele, even though no one except for Howie has ever actually met Adele, but she's been told her whole life that she's just like her. Lucy is about 10 years younger than the others and has always had the role of the baby, even though, you know, she's 35 at the time I'm writing about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that family makes me feel better about stalking my children. Since they all moved to another state. And I think they really in their heart of hearts want us nearby, but who knows? I'm always interested, since I started out as a musician, when music comes up in the novel, can you say more about Max's guitar playing and is exciting about studying with someone who played with Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Bruce Springsteen? On a side note, I saw all of them in concert back then. So,
oh, excellent. Wow. That's great. Well, maybe, yeah, if my fictional guitarist were around, I'm sure you would have seen him playing with all these people. The older grandson, Max, is 15. He's a sophomore in high school, and he is really into playing the guitar. And he gets interested in this girl in the neighborhood who's at his bus stop and finds out that her father is a semi-famous guitarist who played with all these great musicians back in the 60s and 70s and still does. And so this guy takes him on as a student, which makes Max's day. So it's kind of, that's his thing. Music is his thing. And it was really fun to write about a kid who's so into music.
Diana was pretty wild and didn't really settle down until she married. And as you said, she's the most like Aunt Adele, and she divides people who are circus.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about it, but what does it mean to be circus and not circus?
Yeah, Exactly. So to be circus is to be a risk taker, somebody who's willing to put themselves out there and doesn't worry as much and just kind of seizes life and takes it for the moment. And someone who is not circus tends to worry more, tends to not be a risk taker, tends to be sort of less of a colorful character, maybe. And Diana is the one, like I said, who is much more circus. She was really, a difficult kid as a teenager, put her parents through a lot, and then kind of continues that. I mean, she's also seen as somewhat irresponsible by the rest of her family. And part of the book, I think, really looks at how those stereotypes or those depictions of one family member that may have been completely out of date still stick with the other family members and how they see that person.
I absolutely wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
As a child, I developed the reputation of crabby. And so that has followed me in the family. And one, you know, when somebody is a space cadet, I was also that too. No matter what you do, no matter what you become, one of my brothers had learning disabilities before they knew about it. And so he got the, and they actually, the school wanted to put him in the quote, as they told my parents, the retarded room.
Oh, and, God.
And he had that reputation, which didn't really explain how he finished a law MBA degree from the University of Chicago. But that was the reputation. That was what was given to him as a child. Can you talk about it more about with your characters?
Yeah. So Diana is someone who really has made some changes in her life, and yet no one in the family really is willing to see that. And then Adele shows up and again, sort of shifts people's perspectives. But, you know, I mean, for me personally, when I was a kid, I was really, really shy. And I still am, but you know, if someone had been seeing the 10-year-old version of me, they'd be like, wait a minute, she's going on a podcast and talking. So it would be, and I think that with my characters, because they're so overly enmeshed, they tend to sort of not get out of these outdated perceptions of one another. And yet Adele shows up and sort of is seeing them with new eyes, and that's sort of refreshing in a way.
Right. Another theme is the complexity of relationships, not just familial. Which of the many, let's talk about that. Which of the many relationships in the novel was most fun for you to write about? What was most intriguing? What was most difficult?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many that were so much fun, but I think that one of the relationships that I had a lot of fun with was Howard and Marilyn, because the two of them have been married forever. You know, they met in college, and they really have a very nice, loving marriage, but they drive each other crazy, you know? And so you're sort of seeing their conversations from one point. Well, the story, I sort of tell the story from seven different characters' points of view. So you see the same conversation that the two of them are having from Howard's perspective and then from Marilyn's perspective. And, you know, I think you're able to get a lot of humor out of that kind of thing because you realize that you're in a character's head. You know that why they're behaving the way they are. And yet someone else has a completely different perception of why it is that they're doing that. And yeah, it's a way that you can really sort of be like, okay, how well do you really know this person?
Well, I loved Lucy. I loved Lucy. And I loved her relationship. It was just like so sweet. And And that she didn't trust somebody who was being kind. She just.
Yeah, exactly. I know Lucy, I love Lucy too. Lucy is somebody who's trying desperately to have a bit of privacy from her somewhat overbearing family. And, you know, she's been through this really bad divorce. And I mean, it didn't start out as being bad, but she comes to realize it, which I won't get into details. But yeah, she meets someone new and she's sort of trying to trust, but it is hard for her.
And then Sarah's relationship, that was just difficult with her partner being out of the country. That's
exactly.
That's exactly. It's like just almost impossible when you're raising a family.
Exactly. Her partner is spending a lot of time in another country for work. And, you know, Sarah's dealing with her job and her parents and her kids and getting ready for this bar mitzvah. And, you know, it's a lot. And her partner is not around. And so that definitely can cause some stress. And Sarah is the kind of person who gets very stressed out because she's a big worrier.
And you spend time with Sarah's work. That's mm-hmm. another intriguing set of relationships.
So
this is another theme. It has to do with generation to generation.
Yes. So Sarah has a mentor at work, and Sarah's in her mid-40s. She is about to take over the running of this nonprofit, or she has recently taken over because her mentor retired. And now her mentor is moving off to the other end of the world, and she's feeling somewhat bereft because she can't sort of turn to her for advice all the time. And she's kind of taking on the mantle of sort of the older generation among the people in her office. So yeah, it's sort of a changing of the guard.
We touched upon this slightly, but I still need an answer that, that Howard really should have been the one to sit his sister down and say something like he deserved an answer. She's, you know, living with the family for 2 weeks.
Right.
And why is he's such a sweetheart, but almost like a pushover.
Yeah.
She's bamboozling everybody. Why doesn't he say, you have until tomorrow? I want an answer. I think he's much nicer than any of the Pinskys I know.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, I think with Howard, like he even says to one of his old friends on the phone that he's still in touch with, who knew Adele as a boy also, you know, because they were 11, he and his friends, when Adele took off. He says, you know, maybe one day I will be really angry with her, but right now I'm just happy to have her back in my life. I think he gets angry on the phone at one point when she first calls, but he's so happy to have her back. And I sort of feel like if you took a slice of their life in another couple months, he might be going through a phase where he's furious with her, but he's kind of not in that phase at that point.
But that feels more human.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's like too much like an angel.
No, he's not. It's just sort of, I think you go through phases with somebody when they come back, you know.
And Marilyn is a riot, I think. So I love the scene in the hair salon.
Yes. that was a scene that just came to me. I actually hadn't even planned it. And all of a sudden there they were. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I won't talk about the specifics, but Adele and Marilyn do not get along at all. And, you know, there's Adele with her high-heeled shoes and all her scarves, like messing up Marilyn's house and showing up. And after all this time, like if there's somebody who's mad at her, it's Marilyn. I mean, she's mm-hmm. really mad at her, you know. So they have this moment at the hair salon.
There's a lot of Rachel Maddow being watched.
Yes.
And we get a sense that the family is not happy with the administration in 2018. And
exactly.
I'm wondering if you think that a supporter of that administration would enjoy reading your novel.
You know, I wondered about that. And I haven't really heard from someone in that position who's reacted to that. I'm sure there are people who have read it, but I haven't really heard from somebody. And there definitely are things in there that indicate that the family is not a fan of that administration, because the book is set in 2018. It's a good question. And I've wondered about that myself.
But you're the author. You're the one who should know.
I don't know. I mean, it could be that somebody read it and, you know, didn't like that aspect of it. Maybe they liked other aspects of the book. Maybe they saw one thing like that made them say, oh, forget it, and threw the book across the room. I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me know if you find out. I'm interested.
I will.
So, Deborah, what are you working on next?
Yeah, so I have a young adult historical novel that I'm working on that actually Adele is a character in it. She's not the main character, but she's a character in it back in 1952. So that would be 2 years before she ran away. And it's set at a Jewish summer camp in the Adirondacks.
Oh my goodness. I worked one summer at a Jewish summer camp in the Adirondacks.
Really? Wow.
Too bad I can't remember
Amazing.
the name of it. Thank
That's
you
great.
so much for joining me today, Deborah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And thanks for joining me. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series and host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I've been talking to Deborah Kalb about her new novel, Off to Join the Circus. Hope you all have a warm-hearted novel to cuddle up with tonight and always. Happy reading.